You're listening to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. The withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan and evacuation of Americans and Afghans that assisted the American war effort is complete. America's longest war has ended. Tens of thousands of lives and $1 trillion later, the once-defeated Taliban is now back in power. What went wrong, and what does it mean for Afghanistan, that region of the world, and the U.S. going forward? Joining us on today's program is Dr. Mehdi Norbakht. He's a professor of international affairs and business with Harrisburg University of Science and Technology. Dr. Norbakht, welcome to the program. So, the last few weeks aside, let's look at the big picture, the 20 years of war in Afghanistan. What went wrong?
Good morning, Scott. The United States did not look at the nature of the government in Afghanistan. The government that was established in Afghanistan from the beginning, that was a corrupt government. It was not delivering for the public. The public was very critical of this government and showed it on many, many occasions. And unfortunately, the United States did not look at these aspects of Afghanistan in the sense that United States is financially supporting that country. Of course, a lot of American brave soldiers were killed in Afghanistan, but you cannot overall turn a blind eye on what is taking place at the level of the government in that country. And that was at the end what we observe in Afghanistan.
So when you say that the government was ineffective, it was not delivering for the people of Afghanistan, has the government of Afghanistan ever delivered for the people?
From the beginning, that was very obvious, Scott, that the government is not capable. And we saw the sign of, for example, the sign of it in the elections, especially in the last election between Ashraf Ghani and Abdullah Abdullah. The government was not really a type of government in Afghanistan that lived to the promise of election and voting and democracy. Some argue that in societies that are tribal, it is hard to establish democratic government or at least participatory politics or government. But that is not true because we have many, many countries in the world. Look at, for example, the country, a very small country in Africa, Botswana. Look at India, that in the level of course, economic development in the last 20 years, developed more. But that justification overall is not a good justification, and in my understanding the United States failed in that regard, not really to watch the government and see what is going on in Afghanistan.
When we think of corruption here in the United States, government corruption, often we think about there are a lot of things that come under the heading of government corruption. But when you're describing or you're talking about corruption in the Afghan government, what do you mean? Why is the government so corrupt, and corrupt in what way?
They misused the fund. They did not spend the monies that were devoted to Afghanistan on the projects that they promised. A country that financially took advantage of the international support, the United States support, I'm talking about the government. And they did not run an effective government. Efficiency is something else, but effective government to be the steward of that fund that is devoted to Afghanistan to better the life of millions of Afghani. I'm talking about mostly financial corruption in Afghanistan, on the top of everything else that you can imagine in that country.
Well, with the United States backing the government of Afghanistan, couldn't the United States have had more of an eye on and tried to stop some of this corruption? In other words, in most cases, what a government like the U.S. would say is, if this money doesn't get to where it's supposed to go, doesn't go to the projects where it's supposed to go, you're not getting the money.
You are absolutely right. The United States was in Afghanistan for nation building, because we invaded that country. United States invaded that country, and we were over there for nation building. And the United States should have overall, you know, looked at the operation or how the government is operating in Afghanistan. And government after government in the United States failed to do that. And what we see at the moment in Afghanistan is a failed government, but a population that during the last 20 years established civil society, civic, of course, they went through civic engagement and others. You have a society at the moment in Afghanistan with a high expectation, and that is a new society to Taliban too. And a government that was from the early days or from the first days, that was a corrupt government and did not deliver for the Afghani people. That was a problem. And the United States cannot say, or the governments of the United government, they cannot say that they were not, you know, responsible, because the United States was into the nation building in Afghanistan, and they should have looked at, you know, the government and the way the government is operating in that country.
So when you say nation building, do you mean that one of the mistakes that the United States made was trying to build a nation that looked like a democracy in the United States?
No, nation building, I mean, we invaded Afghanistan, of course. The government collapsed, the same as what we did in Iraq. In Iraq, the case was relatively successful, because the United States was collaborating to some extent with the Iraqis, especially at the beginning of the whole stage. In Afghanistan, I really do not understand what, you know, what took place or, you know, what happened. Did they have that perception that this society does not deserve a type of participatory politics? I really do not understand. But what I understand is this, that every government in the last 20 years, every United States government, from Democrats to Republicans, they are guilty. They are absolutely should have noticed that, should have looked at, you know, the government over there and see what they could do.
Dr. Norbosch, it seems as though the United States didn't learn its lesson from Vietnam or even Iraq and made little effort to learn the culture. Do you agree with that? And if so, what do we mean? What do we miss?
You are absolutely, Scott, right, that when it comes to the diplomacy of understanding different cultures in different parts of the world, United States really does not have a very strong understanding from the, you know, various cultures. The cultures in different, you know, parts of the world, from traditional to tribal, toward, you know, modern, in whatever shape or manner you want to define it, there are ways in those cultures that people interact with themselves, people interact with authority, people interact with the government. And if in a nation like Afghanistan, you do not have that history, I'm talking about the history of a political culture that through which the people learned how to react and how to overall, you know, interact with the government, then your first job in that, you know, society is to go and establish civic institutions and promote civic engagement in that sense. That is doable in every single society, no matter what kind of culture that society has, because these are the learning processes that you have to initiate, you have to encourage. In Afghanistan, Unfortunately, the United States did not do it. And you know, Scott, better than me, that in both of these societies, we went for nation building. Yes, of course, now the Biden administration, the Trump administration, the Obama administration, they said we are not good, or we don't want to, you know, do the nation building in any part of the world. But in these two countries, you invaded militarily. You cannot, you know, say it after you invaded those countries. You have responsibility. And let me tell you, you know, something else, Scott, in that regard. The first mistake of the United States in Afghanistan was in 1992. In 1992, the last of the socialist government, that was the government of Najib, fell. The government, Najib government, was a socialist government, was not a communist government. He was ready to negotiate with the United States, and the United States did not accept, you know, that negotiation. That was the first mistake. And after the fall of the Soviet Union inside Afghanistan, we did not stay in Afghanistan to rebuild that country economically. We left Afghanistan, and then after a while, you saw all of those terrorist organizations. After 2 years of internal fighting, finally Taliban came with the support of Pakistan to establish a sense of, you know, security and stability in Afghanistan. And our first mistake, I'm talking about the United States, goes to 1992. And that was a time that we should have stayed in Afghanistan for a peaceful period to rebuild the country economically, to encourage Afghanis to participate in various, of course, sectors of whatever, you know, they had in terms of the industry, and rebuild a society that was totally torn apart and destroyed by the war with the Soviet Union.
So what you're saying, if we look back to that history in the early 90s, is that at the height of the Cold War between the United States and Soviet Union at that time, that the United States was instrumental in defeating the Soviet Union in Afghanistan, or at least the Soviet Union not being victorious. But once the military part was over, that was the end of the U.S. involvement, and you're saying that was a mistake.
That was a mistake. That was an absolute Scottino mistake, because we went in Afghanistan, I'm talking about the United States, we supported the Mujahideen. You remember, you know, that concept.
Yeah.
And those, of course, fought the Soviet Union. Those were the people who defeated the Soviet in Afghanistan at the end of the day. And we should have stayed in Afghanistan, in a country that was totally destroyed economically. And we should have, of course, supported Afghanis in that country to rebuild their economy. And I'm very honest to you, because I studied Afghanistan from the first day of that invasion and before that, of course, in 1990s and the Mujahideen. That country needed aids in the area of economy and economic developments. And if that was the case, we perhaps would have not had Taliban, and Taliban would have not, you know, taken over Afghanistan just, you know, that easily. And that was the first mistake. That was the first mistake. The second mistake, of course, was when in 2000 we invaded Afghanistan under the Bush administration. We did not look at, you know, what kind of a structure, governmental structure, political structure we can support to build in Afghanistan. And we said over there, military was the only solution for the United States, and unfortunately, not the other aspects of nation building. And that is what we failed, or how do you know we failed in Afghanistan?
Dr. Norbosch, we have a question from Dominic, who asked, why did the Soviet Union deploy troops in Afghanistan in 1979 in the first place?
The Soviets were expansionist. They wanted to, of course, expand into other territories. Afghanistan was critical in the sense that it was, of course, a country close to Pakistan. Pakistan was close to the United States in terms of the politics. and for expanding to the resources of Afghanistan and overall adding the satellite states or the shadow states during the Cold War time. The Soviet Union was very much into that kind of, you know, activity in the Cold War era. In part, they established relationship, for example, you remember with Saddam Hussein at the beginning, with the Sadat in Egypt for some, you know, sometimes. The politics in the Middle East was very much divided between East and West. East, I'm talking about the Soviet Union. And in order to dominate overall the politics of that region, Afghanistan was necessary for the Soviet Union to be invaded and the government to be controlled. And when they invaded Afghanistan, they established a type of system in Afghanistan that was communist at the beginning, and to the end it was a little bit relaxed, and the socialist government came to that country. Mostly under the Cold War, that was what the Soviet Union and the United States, in terms of politics, they were doing. They were dividing the world, and the Soviets overall, they invaded Afghanistan for the same reason too.
Let's talk about the last few weeks. The Trump administration apparently worked out a bad deal with the Taliban that didn't include the Afghan government. And the Biden administration didn't do a good job of preparing for the withdrawal of U.S. troops, Americans in the country, Afghans who assisted, or refugees. How could this have been handled better?
The negotiation under the Trump administration could have been more serious, more up to the point, having a very specific frame of how Taliban, if Taliban comes to Afghanistan, how they want to share the government with the rest of the people of Afghanistan. They did not go, you know, that far. The Trump administration, the most important point for the Trump administration was to come out of Afghanistan under any price, any cost. That was a failure. And Khalilzad, who is himself the envoy of the Trump administration, was talking to Taliban, did not deliver. It's very, very obvious. For the Biden administration, in my understanding, the failure came over here. Something, you know, people do not know, perhaps. The Biden administration negotiated with Taliban that Taliban cannot enter Kabul before a type of negotiation between the Afghan government, I'm talking about Ashraf Ghani, and then gradually they come to Kabul or whatever, you know, it takes in that, you know, that sense. The problem was this, that Ashraf Ghani left Afghanistan, and Kabul became a city with no government. The government, the military demoralized so rapidly, so quickly, that created a type of opportunity for the Taliban to come to Kabul, and that was the end of the story. The Biden administration should have known much, much better. In my understanding, they could have involved the United Nations forces, the the United Nations peacekeeping forces in Afghanistan before evacuating, or they could evacuate a lot of people before the military came out from Afghanistan. They totally failed in that regard. And both governments, I'm talking about the Trump administration and the Biden administration, are equally blamed for the failure inside Afghanistan.
We have a question from Kathleen in Palmyra. It says, the Trump administration had originally planned to leave Afghanistan by May of 2021. What planning and expediting of the necessary documents had been done? And she's talking about, you know, those Afghans who had assisted the U.S. not being processed. Were there Trump administration processes in place and working for their May evacuation that the Biden administration halted?
No. No, there was nothing in that regard, Scott. Much of the emphasis or much of the preoccupation of the Trump administration was devoted to negotiation with Taliban through Khalilzad. and nothing was done for the Afghani people. The Trump administration was not ready to evacuate. It was talking about, of course, evacuation, but not really ready. They did not prepare the ground for evacuation. Nothing was done in that regard. Nothing was done in terms of how the forces come out, how the Afghanis who supported the United States should exit Afghanistan. Nothing was done. And when it came to the Biden administration, there was nothing over there to work on. And unfortunately, they did not try to prepare the ground before the evacuation. And that disaster that we see in Afghanistan is a result of the activities of two administrations. One was rushing to come out. I'm talking about the Trump administration. And the ground was overall, you know, paved for evacuation of the United States. And then when it comes to the Biden administration, Biden was not ready to evacuate, did not have really a good plan for evacuation. And that is what we see in Afghanistan today.
The Taliban is back in control. What now for Afghanistan?
The Taliban has not been changed. If anybody claims that Taliban is changed, that person, of course, is wrong. What has changed during this 20 years in Afghanistan is the people of Afghanistan. These people are much more educated. They have established a civic engagement organization inside Afghanistan. They were in contact with a lot of international institutions, a lot of international organizations. And what you see in Afghanistan today, I'm talking about just, for example, Scott. In the last 20 years, if you had a girl who was 1 year old 20 years ago and went to a school, took advantage of the education in that country, that girl today is 20 years old, finished overall, you know, the education and ready, of course, to go to the university. And this is a kind of society that you see in Afghanistan, very much in very areas. They developed the economy, they developed, for example, art. And this is a sad, you know, a story, Scott, that we are leaving that country behind. The country that when it came to the Afghan population, they did their job. They did, of course, what they were responsible as a citizen for. Forget about, you know, the government. And we are putting behind a kind of country that people overall during the last 20 years, the expectation, of course, went up. They educated themselves. They civically engaged inside the country internationally. And we are leaving those people behind. And that is a sad story of Afghanistan, that we are not leaving behind a country that 20 years ago we invaded. We are leaving behind a country that has been changed tremendously. I'm talking about population-wise today, with the level of education, with the activities of its citizen, and we are leaving all of those under the hand of the Taliban. That is the overall, you know, the saddest story of Afghanistan, in my understanding.
There is a narrative out there, and I don't know, you know, how many people or what percentage subscribe to this, that the Taliban is different this time. You just said you didn't think so. It's the same as it was in 2001. But that the Taliban has turned over a new leaf. Some people have referred to it as Taliban 2.0. You don't think so?
No. This is my point, Scott, that Taliban has not been changed. But Taliban is facing a society that society has been changed. This society has a higher expectation. And Taliban cannot deal with the society the way it dealt with the society 20 years ago. This is my point. And we have to understand, you know, this point. This is a very, very important, you know, point. And Scott, I'm telling you this from the perspective of a person who is in contact with the people inside Afghanistan, who is in contact with the Afghanis in Europe and the United States. And even today, I'm in contact with the, as you know, there is another pocket of resistance in Afghanistan. That is in the Panjshir area. And I mean, contact with the people who are in that, you know, pocket at the moment. And to say that Taliban has been changed to, oh, no, Taliban has not been changed. And I promise you, if they found the opportunity later on, they will act exactly the same as how they acted 20 years ago. But the society of Afghanistan, the people of Afghanistan, they changed dramatically in the last 20 years in terms of, as I told you, civic engagement, access to internet, getting news around, you know, the world, participating in economic activities. And this is a new reality that Taliban is facing today in Afghanistan, and they cannot rule this new reality. And this is overall, you know, the problem that we will have in Afghanistan. We will see in the future frictions and, you know, conflicts within, of course, inside of Afghanistan, between the people of Afghanistan and Taliban. And we have to overall, you know, observe it.
How does this nation survive? And I think I'm referring to economically. I mean, there are a lot of factors that make up a nation. I mean, is it even a nation? But how will it survive under the Taliban?
Very difficult. And Taliban knows now. And this is perhaps, you know, something that has been changed to some extent, Scott, by Taliban. That Taliban knows that running a government and running a society is much more complicated and much more difficult than overall, you know, conducting terrorist activities. Terrorist activities, you overall run it, you explode a bomb. But to run a government, that is totally a different way of looking at the society. And you know that in the last couple of days, last week, a Taliban asked the Turkish government to take the control of the airport in Kabul. And the last deal did not, of course, you know, go through between the Turkish government and, you know, and the Taliban. But what I want to tell you, this is a force that cannot control an airport. And this is a force that is asking another country to come and control it. And now they are realizing that governing that society, the society is that is much more educated, much more articulate today compared to 20 years ago, is not an easy job.
What kind of jobs do Afghans have?
The same as other countries. They have, of course, small industries. The country is very famous for the mineral that the country has. The country is very famous for the, of course, opium that you see. The country, of course, has a lot of dried fruit, a lot of agriculture. The country has, even in that, you know, dried, you know, country. Yeah, that is a country that has, Scott, enough resources. The pictures that, you know, sometimes, you know, we see, you know, here and there, it shows, you know, for example, a country that is a little bit in the perception of, you know, some people, backward economically, but that is not the case in Afghanistan. We have to overall, you know, change our perception. Scott, this is my example for a lot of people, that when we think about, you know, Africa today and Africa 20 years ago, 30 years ago, has dramatically, drastically changed. You look at the Tanzania, look at, you know, Kenya. These are the hub of the IT at the moment in Africa. And these countries took advantage of part of the globalization in the last 20 or you know, 30 years. And Afghanistan, of course, in the last 20 years, took advantage of those resources tremendously.
We only have a minute or so left, Dr. Norbosch. I want to thank you very much for being with us. What does this mean for the region? And I guess I'm referring specifically to terrorism. Will Afghanistan become a haven for terrorists again?
I don't think it will become the haven of terrorism very quickly or very soon. Or perhaps, you know, not for the foreseeable future, because the Taliban knows that it is involved in a much more serious, you know, matter at the moment. They have to be part of a government. But overall, with that perception of religion, that rigidity, the Taliban is a threat to the stability in that part of the world. And more than anything else, Taliban is a threat to the good people of Afghanistan.
Dr. Mehdi Norbakhsh is a professor of international affairs and business with Harrisburg University of Science and Technology. Dr. Norbakhsh, always good talking with you. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for giving me, Scott, this opportunity. I appreciate it.